Welcome to another episode of Creative Direction. This podcast was created to celebrate the courage it takes to become an entrepreneur and discover how working artists are making their way. As entrepreneurs, many of us have the desire, but not the roadmap. Creative Direction is meant to explore these diverse voices and approaches to working and making a living. It is our hope that this podcast helps provide some insights that might aid you in your own creative journey. This episode, we take a departure because our co-host, Elijah Teague, is traveling. Holly Tyler and I discuss the importance of creative projects and advancing your career. I hope you enjoy this episode of Creative Direction. I'm excited to have you with us this week, Holly, on Creative Direction. And you're a multi-talented individual. It's really hard to describe you, so I'll do my best. You run, you bike, you bake. You happen to be a really very talented illustrator and designer. How great is it being you?
Well, thanks for having me, Ross. It is very great to be Holly Tyler, for sure. So thank you for those high compliments. But realistic, I mean, my life has its fair amount of struggles as well. So don't think the grass is too green on this side of the fence. But I am really lucky to have some wonderful, interesting people in my life. And I also have a lot of hobbies, probably way too many hobbies than I have time for. We'll see.
Well, you know, as someone who's benefited primarily from two of your hobbies, running and baking, I mean, you've literally picked me up off the ground when we're running because I've fallen a lot. And I've eaten my share of macaroons.
Yeah, you made on my baking creations.
Yeah, I really enjoy your hobbies. I think you should keep them up.
Pandemic hobbies, let's be real.
Yeah. I guess we should kind of, I mean, as much as baking and cookies are fun, we can get on the nitty gritty. I the first time I met you, I actually, like, you told me you were something that I had never heard of before, right? You described yourself as a surface designer. What does that even mean?
That wasn't a word I was familiar with until about 2.5 years ago. I was working at an interior design studio, and we would occasionally have textile designers come in and various people within the interior design field. And some of them called themselves surface designers. And essentially what that is anyone who designs the graphics that go on a physical product. So it could be the cute little poodles that you see drawn on a child's backpack, or it could be graphics for running apparel all the way down to stationery and gift wrap.
That's great. And do you do all those things, or do you focus primarily on a certain area as a service designer?
I really like doing the textiles, specifically within the realm of the athletic industry. So cycling and running apparel, those are some of my favorites, because anytime I can see something physical that I want to enjoy myself, so something that I could wear or send to my friends or family, it means extra to me. And so those are my favorite things to design and really where I focus a lot of my work.
That's awesome. You did a few cycling kits recently for a couple different companies. What were those?
Yeah, so I used to work at Trek Bicycle up at Corbett in Wisconsin, and that's where I originally started some of the surface design. I worked with that custom apparel team, and we would have clients send in their logos and their idea for their custom bike shops or racing teams. And I would occasionally get to help out with those projects, and that's where I really fell in love with it. And then I started making some contacts outside of Trek, so companies like Betty Designs and the local 10 Speed Hero. And there's been a couple other cycling companies that I've designed for, but anytime I get to design for them, it's a really fun, creative process. And then once again, it's stuff that I physically get to see printed, and it just makes it extra fun for me.
That's great. You print a lot of your work, don't you?
Yeah, I try to. I try to have things that can translate from screen to physical.
Do you like the actual tactile kind of, like, the object, the artifact is important to you, even though it's... you're doing digital first mostly, right? Or are you doing any hand?
Yeah, a lot of my work I do start digitally. I like it because So I'm kind of a frugal person, and having all those art supplies, they take up a lot of space and they're expensive. And when I spend a lot of money on fancy papers, I don't feel like I can take those risks. And so when I start, I'm a lot more creative because I can start over a million times if I want and fine tune and tweak without ever ruining anything. And so I really like starting digital and then going to print versus I know a lot of people like to start analog and then move to digital. I'm the exact opposite.
That's pretty cool. So are you, what are you using? Are you using like your iPad?
Oop. We're still there.
Yeah. I'm on low power already. So give me one second. Take a little quick break. See if I can get this thing to balance. Sorry. Oh no. Just kidding. I'll be right back. I'm going to grab a little roll of tape to stick this thing in. So that it's a real professional organization you signed up for here.
Also, are those Russian dolls behind you on the shelf?
Are they what?
Russian.
Yeah. They're all, they're Russian dolls, but they're, you'd probably really like them. They're all hand painted and they're all the dictators.
Okay.
So it's, it ends with Gorbachev, but
awesome.
there's also a little tiny Lenin.
No way.
I found them at an estate sale. Or no, actually it was my great uncle left them to me.
Oh my goodness. So cool.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take a picture of this setup later because it's very high tech. All right. It's a roll of gaff tape.
It works.
Yeah. I forget where we leave off. What were we talking about? We were talking about your
surface design and cycling.
Oh, yeah. How you got started. Yeah. So, was that like your working at Trek? Was that your first job out of school? Like, tell me about how you got your origin story. Like, did you go to school for design, or did you just kind of fall into it, or like how did that work?
So I originally started going to school for interior design because when I was a kid, I really wanted to be an apparel designer, and not necessarily high fashion. That doesn't really interest me at all. I always wanted to do everyday wear and athletic gear, and actually equestrian was one of the things that I wanted to design for. I do a lot of
horses. Oh, so you ride horses. You ride horses too?
Another hop. So that was always my dream. I would make these outfits that would match my horse's saddle pad and polo wraps. And we would show up to the barn looking quite funky. And I hear a lot of the parents probably laughed at us, but I don't know. We got some positive feedback.
whatever feels good, right? Yeah. It led you to what you're doing now, you know?
Yeah, so. It was a lot of fun. So I originally wanted to go to school for design, but it was right after the recession, and I was really scared about design because to me, I went to this small high school in rural Oklahoma, and I was afraid that I would be a starving artist because that's the perception that I had growing up in the country. Like, you either had a full-time professional job, like doctor, lawyer, engineer, or you could be a starving artist, or maybe you go work on a farm. There's that. Right. So those in my mind were my options. And so I decided to do interior design because it felt the safest and like potentially have the best job opportunities. And I got a year into that and decided it still wasn't what I wanted to do, but apparel design school still felt too impractical. So I did business school. And
whoa.
It was fine. I'm really thankful that I did it because I learned a lot of really practical things. And in the back of my head, I always knew I would go back to school later, either for design or for something else. I knew that business school wasn't the end of the line.
But
I got a job at a bike shop through school, and then that led to falling in love with cycling and the cycling industry. And that's when I started at Trek, more on a business side of things. And then I just started weaseling my way into design projects as they would come up. I would kind of go rogue and take design projects that were assigned to me, and then I would just submit them to the design team and be like, hey, here's what I made. Hope you like it. And it worked a lot of the time, so I'm thankful for that. So my background is mostly in business, and that's how I transitioned into design.
That's great. That's sort of that's like a non-traditional route, but it kind of like...
Very non-traditional.
Yeah. It's funny how you find your way back to what you like doing though, you know?
Yeah.
Because you were like artists maybe, and then like, business, which is like way in the other direction.
Right.
And then you swung out, you got into a company and you saw an opportunity, you swung all the way back. That's kind of cool. Like you're almost destined to do that. So, and then maybe you swing the other way eventually.
You might become a scientist next.
There you go. That sounds good. I mean, we need a lot of those. Science is great.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's take a real quick break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some other things. We're not really doing a break. Can you record? Are you able to record?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
I can.
Just make sure.
It says, please request permission.
Okay. I will give you permission. I'm just a little worried about my connection recording everything.
Okay.
Oh, I'll record. So yeah. You should have new abilities. Thank you. Well, that's terrific. Sorry.
Sirens right now.
I can kind of hear them a little bit. I thought it was a cat for some reason, and you don't have a cat.
No. Yeah, they'll pass.
You can wait.
I'm right by the fire.
Sure. Cool. Another new thing to get used to in the new apartment.
Yeah, last night the building next to us was hosting some sort of hip hop party, but they had a DJ and it started raining and they just kept going. And I was like, I want to be friends with them.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I went to this little cafe near my house for lunch today.
Okay.
And the lady behind the counter was like kind of dancing.
Okay.
She's just like, there's some good tunes on. And I was like, oh, she can't see my smile. I'm going to dance too.
Right.
We had a little dance party, and I ordered like a Cobb salad sandwich, but I think she thought I said crab salad. I was not unhappy. That's what I got.
Ooh,
that's good. So we were talking before the break, we were talking a little bit about how you weaseled your way into some design work at Trek. How did you kind of step outside that company and move into your own thing, Holotelic Design?
I started doing some freelance projects, mostly just as art, like art for people, little family illustrations, mm-hmm. and some wedding invites. And that was all through people I knew and word of mouth in the community. And honestly, I saw a lot of these artists on Instagram who had these huge followings of wedding invites and florals and all things girly. And that's really how I started. It's totally not me at all, but I was essentially just copying what they did and it started working. And then I was able to eventually start developing my own style and not just following the trends. And I mean, developing your own style is something that will take a long time and I still have so far to go, but I am thankful that I'm not just drawing florals anymore. But it was able to kind of springboard me out of the corporate world and into some freelance things. And I really started enjoying that and just working with a variety of clients instead of going through the corporate route. And then I decided to, because when you're doing things for personal art, there's not a lot of money in it. And so I started just cold emailing all the companies that I wanted to work for. And I created the biggest spreadsheet that I had seen in my life. And I listed all the companies I wanted to work for, from things that were itty bitty little startups to things like Nike. And I would just essentially annoy people until they gave me work.
Also, that's funny, I did the same thing.
Yeah, it made me a little bit more resilient to rejection because there is a lot of it when you're a freelancer. And so sure. you definitely build up confidence over time and you get used to hearing no and lots of silence. And then the yeses that you do get feel like huge wins. And it feels really great to get those yeses.
Yeah. Do you find when you get those yeses, it happens to be people that really want to work with specifically you?
It seems to be. They're usually people that, like, I'll send my portfolio and then they'll check out my work and then they're, it usually is just something a little bit more serendipitous. There are people that say, oh my gosh, I was about to try to find an illustrator and this is perfect. However, I honestly haven't had to do that in about a year. I've had more people coming in through word of mouth or through my website or social media or things like that. And honestly, that's the point I wanted to get to, because I don't like reaching out. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. There is a lot of rejection. And so just having people come to you is a much better thing, because they're people that already are aware of you and looking specifically for what you have to offer.
That's great. How do you think, how are people finding you now? Is it just you've done enough work, you get referrals from other people? Or, you know, is your social media big enough that you're kind of getting that from there? Or, I mean, you had some pretty kind of crazy opportunities. Not crazy because you're great, but like cool opportunities happen in the last like year or so. Like you, I guess I asked like three questions at once, but like, where do you think those things are coming from? And then we can work on the other thing. Where do you think most of that work is coming from? Is it referrals or is it your internet?
Yeah, a lot of people do come through referrals as well as social media. And it's funny because I always had this perception that you had to be Insta-famous to get work from Insta. And that is so far from the truth. I have a very, very modest following and I still get a lot of clients from there. But they are more within a specific industry, namely cycling, because those are pages that I follow and accounts that I interact with. And so it is easier to find those kinds of clients. But I do think it's a function of me being in such a niche industry.
Sure. You had this, it's really kind of, you had this really cool opportunity happen. You kind of created it for yourself last year. You went to France early this year, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was there in January. And so last year during the Tour de France, I had been doing a lot of client work that was, it was just client work. You know, I was creating stuff for people specifically for what they needed. And so as a personal project, so that I could have this creative outlet on the side, I was doing daily art for the tour. And I was really enjoying that, but I was just doing it for fun. Like I had no expectations. I figured I probably wouldn't even sell any of it. It was simply for fun because I really like watching the tour and it's a fun time of year. I wish it was happening this year.
yeah, me too.
I'm so sad. So I created all this art and I put it on Instagram, and there was a guy in France who I had connected with before and he saw it, and his wife owned a fitness studio over there. And they have artists that they showcase. And so he asked, you know, like, hey, could we showcase your art over here? And I was just flabbergasted. I don't even think I slept that night. So of course I did that. And shipped them the whole, it was all 21 stages of the tour. And we printed them. They were pretty big. They were poster size. And then they went all through their studio and their retail space. So they are located there in Paris. It's called La Salle de Sport, and they are a Reebok retailer and fitness studio. So I got to go over there, and then they're just the loveliest people over there, and they were able to connect me to some other clients that have worked out, and it's turned into a really cool relationship all through just a fun art project.
So Holly Tyler, international illustrator and service designer. Holy shit. And that's all just from doing something that you just wanted to do because it was fun for you, right? You
know, yeah. Like,
how cool is that?
It was really fun. And that's just something too. I have another artist friend who the other day was talking about how sometimes it feels a little bit self-indulgent to spend time creating art for fun. And we were talking about how we both feel that way. But then at the same time, sometimes those things that you are super passionate about are the things that turn into the coolest opportunities later. So cool. Be self-indulgent. Make that art.
That's pretty great, though. I mean, that's such a fun outcome for something that you're just like, I'm making this anyway.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll have an art show.
Yeah, it was just the most fun trip. I had never been over there solo, and so it was kind of an interesting dynamic to just go to a foreign city and ride bikes and eat whatever I wanted whenever I wanted.
Yeah, did you hang out at a bunch of cafes and stuff?
Oh.
And like, yeah.
Yes, I did.
Plenty of baked goods.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm jealous and also miss that too.
Yeah, as soon as borders reopen, man.
Getting on a plane, right? Did you find any baking inspiration while you were in France?
Oh yeah. The way they approach food just really resonates with me. I mean, they really focus on spending time eating, and it's a lot less of the fast food culture we have here. And the people are proud of what they make. Like, to them, food, from my perception, they see food as an art and a necessity, mm-hmm. and not just a thing that you eat while driving on the go. And so
sounds really nice.
I mean, their pastries and stuff are so good and just made with much better quality and care. And now whenever I bake, I try to channel that into my baking a little bit.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really good. Like, it kind of, it's funny following that chain of events. I mean, you made something that you really liked. You got an opportunity from it. And then you got to have this whole new cool experience, which is also probably very inspiring and fun, even just for your own like life. And I'm sure maybe it has something to do with your coffee and ice cream thing that you created, or influence of that. I mean, dessert inspiration for all of your, for people that don't know, you also created another cycling kit that's like coffee and, is it coffee and donuts? What is it, coffee and ice cream?
Yes.
And yes.
That is through Hummingbird Apparel. So if you're a listener, okay. A female cyclist, they have some really cool gear, and it's a female-owned company. And we need more of that in the cycling industry. So
yeah.
And once again, that one was inspired by, she had seen, I did a little personal project of little bagels with humanistic features. And that company had seen the bagels, and she said, you know, I want something similar to that, but with coffee and ice cream. So it was like a personal project that inspired something else that turned
That's
into
awesome.
Work. So once again,
yeah.
Be self-indulgent.
So just keep making stuff all the time, 100%, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's really good. So I know, you know, a lot of people in the creative community have had like a really rough time with the pandemic. You know, everything slowed down. I mean, obviously there's economic ramifications of that. How have you been kind of dealing with that? How are things going?
Yeah.
How have things changed?
It's definitely been a mixed bag. Whenever the pandemic first happened, I was doing a school program here at the Art Institute. It was a year-long program. And I had several projects that were either just starting or had done a little bit of work for some bigger clients. And a lot of those just simply vaporized. And then school was just canceled. It wasn't even postponed. It was just straight up canceled for the semester. And so it was this weird mental thing of, I was finally starting to get some momentum and really excited. And then all of a sudden it was just like a screeching halt. And also right at the end of the Chicago winter, when you're already kind of pushed to the limit. And so it was hard. I mean, even now, like, it's still sometimes hard as things open and just navigating everything that's happening right now in the world. Like, it is a weird year for everyone. However, I feel really grateful because right when the pandemic started and a lot of those corporate clients kind of vaporized or pushed out their timeline quite a bit, I had a lot of people who they had nowhere to shop retail-wise in Chicago for mm-hmm. gifts, and people that still had jobs and were in an okay position were spending money on art. because it was
great.
A good custom gift that they could give people. And so a lot of my work just simply pivoted there for a minute. And now as businesses come back, and I've also seen a huge trend already of new businesses starting, you know, people that have been unemployed and don't maybe necessarily even want to go back into the work world and are seeing this as an opportunity to start their business. So now there's all this opportunity for branding and all these cool new ideas that I think in a year or two are just going to be blossoming. Right now, these seeds are being planted. So it's a really weird time, but I think there will be a lot of silver linings. Sometimes it's just
hard. Yeah, that's a very optimistic way to look at it. You know, like, yeah, things will be, you know, taken off real fast in a year.
Yeah, it might be, you know, two or five, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, but the last crisis, I should say, the housing crisis, 2008. I mean, yeah. Uber was born in that. You know, there were a bunch of other companies that were just didn't exist that, you know, took off. You know? So hopefully we'll see the same sort of renaissance again after this swings back. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's definitely hard. I mean, it's hard for everyone. I feel very grateful that I can work remote from anywhere, and really all I need is my computer and internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel very grateful for that. But it's definitely a struggle. I mean, things that I was super excited about have just vaporized. But
yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, for a while it felt like people were just taking stuff away from me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for good, I mean, there was a good reason. It was a once-in-a-lifetime crisis in the world that we had to respond to and adapt to, you know, but now it seems like maybe we've turned a corner and things are coming back again, you know, and I know that's a really sad way to, like, and almost a selfish way to think about it. We're like, why is everyone taking everything away from me, right? But, you know, it does feel like that at times, especially when you work so hard to build your own thing, right? And then you can't work or it becomes difficult. But go ahead.
Well, even outside of everyone's careers are essentially being affected and businesses are being affected and things are being taken from us all. But I think what makes it really hard is that the things that we used to do to cope with, say, a big project going away, like maybe you would go out to the bar with your friends or go to a concert.
Right.
And so now those coping mechanisms are gone. So that's another reason why I'm super thankful. A lot of my hobbies are outdoor hobbies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So those are good coping things. And I'm very thankful to see more people getting into those outdoor activities. But yeah, we're all dealing with it. And a lot of those things that we used to look forward to, those have been taken from us as well.
Yeah, I'm glad that we still run, you know, together, because that really helps me, and we can talk about what's going on and, like, keep things moving and, like, get rid of some of that nervous energy, you know. I don't know, I went for a really long bike ride this morning, and I was in a funk for a couple of days before that, and, like, you know, like, now that I'm done, I'm here talking to you, I'm having a great afternoon, like, it's not that bad.
Oh, man, I have not run today yet.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. You got another hobby you got going on. Tell me about that. That's one of the coolest things. I mean, one of the cool things I've heard that you do is this. How many days have you done it? So you have a run streak, right? You run every day at least 1 mile?
Yes.
But sometimes many more, right?
On occasion, I go a bit longer. That's in October of 2015, and there are some other notable run streakers out there. I believe the longest is over 50 years.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, there's a whole subculture of these people. Crazy. I've made some really cool friends through it. But it's a really cool thing, because every day you have one thing that you do that kind of anchors you to that day. And so running at least a mile. And as long as I can do that, I feel like everything else in my life will be okay. You know, I haven't had anything catastrophic enough to end the run streak. And so it's been there through moving cross country and traveling, or really bad days, really good days. It's always there. And so brushing your teeth every day, just like a this point.
How many days at the time of the podcast?
Today is 1732, I believe.
Holy smokes. Are you gonna do that's a lot of miles. That's like half the country.
Yeah.
Run across.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Do you have something planned for, I mean, it's probably a year or so out, but 2000?
Yeah, that will be next summer. And so I was originally thinking for 5 years this fall, going to Miami. There's a guy that runs 8 miles every day, and he just hit 40 years. Yeah. And there was a book written about him, and he includes all these people from around the globe. He's gotten to be pretty notable. And so he's ran with, I think, over 2,000 different people, and he keeps track of them, and he has a nickname for every single person. And you only get counted, I believe, if you do all 8 miles with him. So
that's awesome.
But I think with the pandemic, I think travel to Florida in October may still be a little bit limited. 50,
yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll get to go earn your nickname.
And he runs it on the sand. That's what's even crazier.
Whoa, that's hard.
8 miles on the sand.
At Daytona or Miami?
Miami.
Oh, it's not even like Daytona's got like a harder beach that you can kind of run on. It's like sand.
Yeah. Well, his name is Raven, if you want to look him up. If you just type running with Raven, or like run streak Raven, he's super easy to find. Very notable character.
Cool. You do like a really good job leveraging Instagram to meet people and make friends. Like, yeah. I was like, you're like, oh, how do you know this person? And I was like, oh, what do you do? Just to be like, are you just like, hey, you're cool, what's up? Like, how do you start that conversation?
No, I usually don't start the conversations myself. I like to ask people questions. So something like this podcast is so different for me because I like to be the one asking questions, not the one talking. So totally different dynamic.
Maybe you can interview me at some point. put me in the hot seat.
Yeah,
it's fair, right?
I have a podcast. I like asking people questions. And so if someone replies to an Instagram story or a comment, I'll usually just ask a question, and then it will turn into a whole conversation. And then next thing you know, you're close friends and meeting up in person.
That's really cool.
And that's another thing too. For networking, I mean, so much of freelancing is about networking. And I used to be a really shy, weird kid, and now I'm just an outgoing, weird adult. And now I just talk to everybody. And like, if you're in an elevator with me, I'm going to be that person to talk to you. Or like at the park, I talk to people. And you just never know who you're going to meet and what kinds of needs they have, whether it's a business need, or maybe they just need a friend, or maybe they need to vent about something. I've had that happen plenty of times. So just talk to everybody. That's my advice for life.
Yeah, that's how we met. We met at Coffee Talk, which is held by like presence agency. It was just like a kind of random, you were sitting across the table and I was like, hey, who are you?
Yeah. Man, I miss Coffee Talk.
Yeah, I do too. Another in-person thing we'll have to pick up again. I think they're doing an online thing right now, but yeah, it was good. Kind of similar to, I guess this is my replacement for that for the time being, is talking to cool people like you who are doing entrepreneurial things and just seeing everyone's unique path and what they have to contribute. That's like, that's so fun. I actually learned a lot about you that I didn't know before this. And we've been friends for over a year, I think, which is pretty cool. Yeah. But I really enjoyed having you on the show. I'm glad you know, things are turning a corner and you're seeing those silver linings through this kind of difficult year. But, you know, hopefully we'll keep running, keep biking, and, you know, we'll be back again soon to talk about some other cool things going on. Before we take off, is there anything that you're working on now that you want to share or, you know, point people towards or?
Oh man, I have a couple personal projects that I'm working on, and I'm always in the back of my mind considering launching apparel of my own. And right now it feels like a good time for that, at least a good time to develop it. Maybe not release it anytime soon, but that's something I want to develop over time. And then I'm working right now, once again, it was a connection through that France trip, but I'm working on some animations for a bike company in Paris.
And
it's been a really fun project because it's something that's pushing me a little bit out of my comfort zone. It's something I knew how to do, but I had never done a true, like, full video set for a client. So I'm really excited about that. And just a couple other art projects for friends that I'm working on. So
that's awesome. That's really great. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for being here. We're excited to see those things. If they're out by the time we post this episode, we'll put them in the show notes so people can kind of take a look at them. And we'll also add all of your what's your Instagram? Your Instagram handle is at
Holly's Your Design.
Cool. We'll post that too, and then people can check out your work and see what you're up to.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you.
Creative Endeavor is sponsored by Clever Editing. The difference between good content and great content is a little clever editing. Providing clever post-production solutions for e-commerce. Get the most value out of your images with Clever Editing. Visit cleverediting.com today.